So Kotiv Liishto Dinu Dvarim Ein Li Benechsech Harizet Ochel Perot Bechaya. Someone writes that I have no rights in your property, right? Then he still eats the peros of the Nechse Melug, as long as she's alive. Vimeta Yorsha. And if she dies, meaning she predeceases him, he inherits her. In Kelam Lakot La Dinu Dvarim Ein Li Benechsech. So then, for what purpose did he write that I have no rights in your property? Shemachra v'notna kayam, right? That if she transacted in the property, that the properties, that transaction will stand or will hold. So those are three things, right? The man has really three items that come out of the nechsei meluk. One is that what if, or the nechasim of the woman. One is if she predeceases him, he inherits her. Number two is that he eats peros while she's alive from the Karen, right? And the third thing is, what if she transacts on the property, he can object to that transaction. So the Gemara says, of those three things, when he says, din advarim ein li b'nechsech, when he makes the statement that I am, right, somehow removing myself from this property, that removal only references one of those three items, and that's his ability to reject her selling the property.
So if she sells the property, what about the peros then?
All right, it's a good question, right? It seems like he would lose the payros, according to this, right? So Gemara is going to discuss that. Why do they pick this? Out of the three things, why do we pick this one out of the three things? All right, katav la, dinu dvarim ein li b'nechseich u'beperotehem. So now if he says, I have no claims on you with your property and your payros. Number one is he doesn't eat payros, because he mentioned payros. But if she dies, he still inherits her. So even though he does not have rights to the peros, nevertheless he'll have rights to the peri peros, which means that if the peros somehow have offspring, meaning that if you have animals and they have another generation, if you have fruits and you sold them and bought land, that secondary land will also produce, and that will be peri peros. So he'll be entitled to them until he says that I have no rights to your property, their peros, their peri peros, their secondary right production, adolam forever. Kotov la dinu dvarim ein li b'nechsech u'perotehem u'perotehem b'chayech u'bemoteich. He says that in your lifetime and in your death, eino ochel peros b'chaya, doesn't eat peros when she's alive, v'meita eino yorsha. And if she dies, right, then he does not inherit her. Shemuel Milomer, imeta yirashena. That he can't undo. Why? He's rejecting the Torah's prescription, which is that what? Torah prescription is that a husband inherits his wife. Right, that's based on the pasuk, right? It says the ul sheiro akarov elav, right? That the sheiro and the addition is who ezu sheiro akarov elav zu ishto. That's his wife. Now it's machlokas whether Tanoim, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's the Tano, says that's deoraisa, min a Torah, a husband inherits his wife. The other Tanoim, or many other Tanoim, believe what? That is only an asmachta, it's midrabanan. That's not the real interpretation of the pasuk. And Shiro Kovei Lav is an asmachta midrabanan, that what? That a husband inherits his wife. So it's a machomat na mashkator, it's no batil. And anybody who tries to create a tnai, or tries to change what the Torah prescribes, right, that tnai or that condition will not work. So here, where he's trying to what? Change what? That fact that Yerusha goes from the wife to the husband by saying, I have no rights in this property. So that tnai or that condition will not be sufficient or won't even work. I mean, not sufficient. It's
it's a little funny to know that you can't decline to receive something.
Right. So, because it's the Torah says that's where it goes, and by your declining, it's going to end up in a different person's hands. So you can't change the Torah's prescription from Yerusha. You have to do it. That you could do. Meaning, if you took control of it and you fulfilled the Torah's obligation, and then were mafkir, or the other way is for the woman to gift the property prior to her death, which is a lot about the wills today that get around this problem. It's a major issue for wills. If people have wills or secular wills, right? The major issue is that the secular wills work after death. I mean, that their whole function is to come into effect at the point of death and then distribute the property according to the will, which will come up against the Torah's prescription of Yerusha. Meaning that the banim are yoresh, the banos are not yoresh, but malkum banim, and all the other divisions that the Torah a b'chor, all the other issues that the Torah mentions with regards to Yerusha. So the only way to prevent that is to gift it before one dies. If you gift it before one dies, then what? Then there's no issue. Problem is, nobody knows when they're going to die. Right? So how do you create a will? So that's what you have to work on. The halachic wills work under this assumption, trying to create a kinyan, have a chalushim kinyan prior to it can't be mefreya because it can't be after death. So it has to be somewhere before death that they create a kinyan. If like an hour before I die, this kinyan will take effect if such and such has transpired. There's ways to create it, so structure it.
If you left something by anybody, it doesn't need to be a parent, and you know that that money or property, whatever, should be going to a child.
Right.
So is it a nevera to accept that money?
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I don't know if it's it's quite, usually we say most mechavera lavaraya that they have to bring proof that they're entitled to it. But maybe in this case where you know for sure it's wrongly been given to you, that it's really not your money, then maybe there is, maybe there is a problem with accepting the money.
At least according to Rabbi Shimon.
Well, that's with the wife. That's according to the wife.
Right, but in other words, based on the fact that the Torah prescribes Yerusha, to go to him. So the same thing, the Torah prescribes Yerusha to go to a son. So if,
But Rabbi Shimon, everybody holds that. See, the question of the son is everybody agrees it's Doraisa, and that the tonight would be Batel. There's
right.
No question about what?
That's what I'm saying. So it's not like there should be no question about it. In other words, if it...
Right. He's asking on the side that are you obligated then?
Is the recipient obligated to set to the street?
Exactly. I don't know. It's a good question. I would think maybe yes, but I'm not sure how it works. because most of the time, the issue really is if they go to a secular court, they're going to enforce the will. Right, and the children, how do the children get the money back out? Right, and so the challenge in both in Israel and abroad is to work both within the halachic court system and the secular court system, because you need the secular court system to enforce the will, and you need the Beis Din to recognize the will. So you have to have wills that deal with both sides of the issue, right? That allow both for enforceability in the secular courts, but also allow for the Beis Din to recognize that the will actually is a halachic will, and that they'll prescribe based according to that will. All right. So a lot of times you need two wills. You need a secular and a... that end up doing the same thing, but in different ways. I mean, that one, the secular will that works like a normal secular will, but a halachic will that basically generates this exact same outcome, right, but may not be recognized in a secular court. All right, Tani Reb Chia. So Rukhia says, Omer Lishto, right, that don't write Akotev Lishto, but rather Ha Omer Lishto. Right, he ends the Mishnah to read Ha Omer rather than Akotev. So Omer says, V'chi Kotev Lo Hochi Mayavi. Right, if he actually does this, or even if it's Amira, what's the story? V'ha Tanya, don't we have a price? Omer Lechaveo didn't very mainly Alsa Dezu, Ein Liesek Bob, Yadai Yadi, Musuleket Hemenu Lo Amar Klo. So if you have two partners, jointly own a piece of property. If one of the partners goes ahead and says, you know what, I don't have anything to do with this land anymore, or I don't have any business with it, or my hand is taken away from it, lo amar klum. That is not a form of what? Of kinyan. If you want to transact, if you want to move property rights, you have to work within the framework of the halachic transactions, and the halacha prescribes certain kinyanim based on what you're transacting, whether it's karka, whether it's metalphalim. And that being misalik yourself, removing yourself from a property, is not a form of halachic kinyan. And therefore, when he says that, I just removed my ownership from here, that does not automatically allow the partner to take possession of the property. The only time it works, right, there is one time where it works, we've seen it, passed in Daf Yomi already, one time that it does work, when you say, yadai misalekim menu, that is it. There's one halachic time that this type of lashon works, and that is by, a long time ago. That's it. One time that it works is by Erevin. Right? By Erevin, if someone forgets to join in with Shittuf the Erev, he can be misalik his ownership in order to join into the ownership.
So the others,
right, to allow the other people to carry, he can give up his ownership into one person. So there's the only time that it works. But that's because both it's Darabanan, and we allow you to do that. But from a halachic kinyanim standpoint, right, that does not work. So why over here? His entitlement halachically is what? To the peiros, to inherit his wife, if she predeceases him, and to block the transactions. How can he, by saying a lashon of what? Well, lashon shlili, but a way of a lashon of removing his self from it or from the ownership, why should that take on halach tokev? Why should that have any meaning in the halacha? Because all he's saying is I remove myself from it. And we see what? That another place in the halacha or other kinyonim that has no meaning.
It doesn't transact or affect the change of ownership.
Right. Samri debay Rabbi Yanai bekotiv la v'oda arusa. Oh, we'll solve the problem that he does it prior to marrying her, prior to nisuin. He does it while she's still an arusa. Right. So what's the difference if she is an arusa or what after she's a married?
He hasn't taken ownership yet.
Right. So the difference is you cannot remove your ownership if you already own it. And if something or a right that you already have, in order to remove your ownership, you have to have some form of kinyan to remove that ownership. But if prior to getting something, you reject the acceptance of it, then you have the ability to do that. That you can do. You can say, I don't accept it, I don't make the kinyan, meaning I don't accept the kinyan that comes to me. Kidrav Kana, Damar of Kana, Nachla Bala Odom Imakom Acher, person is about to inherit property from somewhere else. Adam Matne Lesh Lo Yirashena. Prior to coming into his ownership, he can say, I don't want it to happen, or I can say, I want this to happen with it. Meaning that he can, prior to taking ownership of it, he can make a statement about what will happen with it. But he can't undermine it, his ownership once he has it. Uchid Rava, Damar Rava, Hamar, Efshit, the Kanas Chachamim, Konzu, Shomimlo. Rava says that if I say I don't want the institution of the Chachamim to work in this case, we listen to him. Mikey Gomzu, what's that case? The case we've had before. Ravuna Damaravuna Marav Yochel Ishtemar Lavala. Any zonit veini osa. She says, I will not take mazonos, and I will not do. So the Gemara says, Ihochi, if that's the case, mean that if you can reject a Takanas Chachamim, right? What is the peros over here? What is the peros that he's getting? The fact that when he predeceases his wife, possibly, except for Shimon Lamuel, that he inherits her, that he blocks her ability to transact, those are all takanas chachamim mishameva. Right? That the reason the chachamim gave him all these rights are that they should have a peaceful marriage. Meaning that the wife's ownership in the next malug should not cause tension in the marriage, but gave him these other rights around it. So why, yochi afilu nesuma nami? Why shouldn't he be able to do that when he's in Nesua? Right? So the problem there is Nesua yodo ki yada. His hand is as strong as her hand. Rav Omer yodo adifa mi yodo. His hand is stronger than her hand. So what does it mean that, what's the case that we're talking about yodo ki yada or yodo stronger than the yada? So that, let's just look in, let's see, Rashi. Where's the Rashi? Konami yodo yodo. So, Kanumi Yado Mahu. Well, that's the next Rashi. We don't do that. Nafkamino. Right, where do we have that? We have that in the Gemara. I should have read that before we go to Rashi. Is Nafkamino the difference between these two opinions of Rav and Abai is Lishomeres Yobam. So let's just read the Rashi. Nafkamino Lishomeres Yobam. Klomar. Lenin Dinner Dvarim Lo Plige. They don't argue about the Dinner Dvarim. The Ben Yado Ki Yada, whether his hand is strong as hers, or Ben Yado Adifa Mina, Ein Moil Ba, Lishon Dinu Dvarim Lo Salko. Can't get rid of his ownership through using the term Dinu Dvarim. That's what we need it for. This is a machlokas that's found in the Gemara Yavamos. It's going to be masnisan de perek leel. About our Mishnah in the previous perek, that what? It says that Shemeres Yobam, that has property. She inherits property while she is waiting for Yibum. Diktani Meta Maya Sibik Tubata. She dies, right? That's what we discussed in the last perek. While she dies, while she's Shemeres Yobam, what happens to her Ksuba? Bifliku Beishami Beisilo, right? Beishami and Beisilo argue about what should happen with them. Veuke Abaye, and Abaye established it that what? Plugtai Bishinofalok Shitacht of Dabal, right? That the possessions or these properties came into her possession while she was still married to the first husband. Chai Balarishim, Kasara by Yadoki Yada. That is, rights in properties such as this are equal to her rights. When she dies and falls in front of the Yobam, or when her husband dies, possibly Yobam, Meta, and then she dies, right before the Yibam comes, Yosheva, Yosheva Baal, Shneim Baim Liarish, Zemikoch Achoto, Zemikoch Achiv. Each one of them gets to, right, there's an equal balance of ownership over here. What's the equal balance of ownership? That when the property fell to her from someone else while they were married first time, they had equal rights to that property. Yodo ki yada. And therefore what? When he dies, what then? Technically, the yabam should be taken over his position. And when she dies, someone else got her yorshim take over, right? Her yorshim take over the her rights. Beshamai chaluka adifa. Then we break it up. Ubezelo chazaka kamaisa adifa. The original chazaka is better. Therefore, the next time go to the wife's family. And Rava argues on Abai. If the property fell to when they were married, the original husband's power over this property exceeds the wife's one. When he dies, when the other brother comes to do yibum with him in his place, then he takes over his brother's rights there. Farihu kimoto v'meita k'shishomeret yabam. She dies in liyosheva and klun. Her inheritors have nothing to do with this property. Masnisan the beishamay nafal k'shishomeret yabam. And then machlokus team beishamay and beisel, where beishamay says split it, and beisel says this goes by chazak is only when it falls. The property falls like we said in last parak. What? When she's waiting, when she's waiting to make sure it's yabam, when that first husband doesn't exist anymore. So now, what do you see from this? You see from this. That what? Yadoki yada? Or that when an isua, when she's an arusa, what? Then her rights in the property far exceed his rights in the property. And therefore what? Therefore, when he can say, I'm misuleket, that I can remove myself from it. I'm not accepting the ownership that is coming with the marriage. And he can reject taking in the kinyan on that property. But once they're nisua, once they're married, whether it's a buyer, whether it's Rava, his power in the property is either like a shutaf, like they're equal, or even that his rights in the property exceed his wife's rights in the property. And in both of those instances, what? That means he already has ownership in the property. If he only has ownership in the property, then he can't use the lashon of dinu dvarim ein li b'nechsech. That he can't remove his ownership ella through kinyan. And that'll make the difference. So that's the answer of the Gemara is what? So you're right. Siluk does not work, what, in a regular situation of a kinyan. Right, so that anytime you have a regular kinyan and you're trying to undo the kinyan, that siluk, removing yourself or removing your ownership from it, won't work. Where does it work? It works prior to your taking that ownership. So when is prior? Either before the arusha comes to someone, like a regular case where arusha comes to you, you can say, I don't want it, or I want it to go here, I want it to go there, I remove my ownership from it. Or what? Or in our case, when does the husband not have rights in the property? That's when they are arusa, right? When she's still an arusa, before he becomes an nesua, his rights in the property have not come fully to bear, and therefore he can say, I don't want him to come to me, because it's a takanas chachamim, and he's saying, yefshi, I don't really want this takanas chachamim. But once he's an nesua, he can't do that anymore. Once they're married, to say yefshi is trying to remove ownership, because what? Both Abai and Rava agreed that he has a form of ownership in the property.
Even if stuff that you think is
No, that's, that may be further, no, maybe not. Maybe if she's going to inherit stuff later on.
Is it gone on the chet, or is it gone on that relationship?
Right, no, that might be, right, if there's going to be Yerusha in the future, he may be able to, like, just like the other case.
Or maybe he's ready, sort of.
No, unless, right, I don't know, last parak we had that, the idea whether he's mitzapet, whether things that he knows about, whether he's really thinking about them at that time, right? But in that case, it might be that he's allowed to, he could be mesula, because he doesn't have kinyan over it yet. Once he doesn't have kinyan, he can still remove his ownership from it.
How does Rabbi say that yado adifa miyada?
Because
he's entitled to the payros.
He's allowed to block any transaction, and if she predeceases him, he owns it. He takes Yerusha in it.
Yeah, and if he predeceases her, then she owns it.
Right, but so he has more rights because he can. I mean that she has no rights of transaction. Right, she will lose it unless she outlives him. So that's what he believes. He believes that it's it's a sigyon yevamos, but it's that he believes that his rights, the husband's rights, exceed the wife's rights in here. Because he can eat the peiros, because he can get the Yerusha. So all these items give him a benefit above the wife's benefit. All right, I mean, Abai disagrees. So that, not that you're unfounded in your question, but Abai thinks that they're on equal footing here.
Mm-hmm. So
that Kamina was by Shomer's Yabam. Because by Shomer's Yabam, when do you think the property... It depends when you think the property came to the Shomer's Yabam, that the case machlokes between Beishamai and Beis Hillel has to do with when the property came to the Shomer's Yabam. According to Abai, where there's equal ownership in marriage, then the property could have fallen when she was married to her first husband. And then that their machlokes will exist even after the first husband dies, and then she dies before performing Yibum. There's equal ownership here, so there's two Yorshim that we have to deal with. Whereas the Rebbe says, no, if they were property came to them when they were she was married to the first husband, the first husband's rights are far exceed her rights in the property, and then for her Yorshim are out of the picture. The only time her Yorshim come into the picture is when the property fell to her when she was waiting, in between the first husband and the second husband. That's when her Yorshim will come in, because then there's no husband to deal with. She really owns it, or at least has a big chazaka in it, and therefore you have a machlokas v'selam beit shammai only when the property falls after the first husband dies. That's the nafkamina between them. Now, the Gemara has a question. Kanu miyodo mahu. This is a major machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos, what the question of the Gemara is over here. Right? So, according to Rashi, if you look at Rashi here, kanu miyodo mahu, a braisa domer l'chaveyo didn't very mainly asad zuk koi. On the braisa we said above, right, that he says din and dvarim ainly be sadizu. Remember, we had shutafim, we had partners, right? And one of them said misulak yadi mizeh. Right? He says I get rid of my ownership in here. We said it does not work. What happens after he made that lashon? They make a kinyan, right? So he says this lashon, and then they make a kinyan. Is the kinyan strong enough? Right? Is the kinyan strong enough to overcome the lack of proper? Proper speech here, meaning that the way that they transacted based on the Lashon he used, basically, Rashi calls it Lashon Griusa. He used a poor articulation of what he's trying to do. So can the Kenyan overcome the poor articulation, or does the poor articulation already make it that the Kenyan is meaningless in this context?
So the Kenyan is strengthening the statements. It's the Kenyan on the statement.
Right. So that's the question, right? The basic question is the Kenyan reinforcing the statement which is
right,
meaningless?
It's like a Kenyan on a non-transaction.
Right.
The Kenyan was, if the Kenyan was by itself, well, what does that mean?
Right. If I hand you something, it doesn't do anything unless you have, but there you have to state what you're doing. You can't just, if he hands me one of his pen, that doesn't mean I own the pen. If he hands me the pen, I haven't done a kinyan on the, unless it's hefker, then I might be able to do a kinyan without doing anything. But you need what's gemir sadas, which means that we have to both understand what this kinyan is doing, right? So just simply having a kinyan may not be meaningful. But here they are trying to change ownership.
The act of a kinyan doesn't necessarily make it a kinyan.
Chalos shem kinyan, right? Exactly. The maisa kinyan has to be formed with the chalos shem kinyan, which is that the chalos has to do with our gemir sadas, that we both understand what we're doing.
And we don't say that when he says any dvarim is a cancellation, then the kinyan is sort of reestablishing.
Right. That's the other tzad.
That's the other side.
Right. Rashi is saying the fact is we both are trying to change. Any dinim dvarim is that we're trying to change ownership. We're just doing it the wrong way.
Right.
But then maybe when we do the kinyan afterwards, that allows us to overcome that problem.
Because any dvarim means I cancel out. Right. Oh, is that any dvarim doesn't work?
Right. Won't work. So either you have to say, is the kinyan being somech on that and it's a failed kinyan? Or do we say that they're trying to do something and therefore the kinyan is trying to do the same thing and it overcomes the griusa of the lush?
So the kinyan is actually done by the other shit, but not the one saying any dvarim.
Exactly. I mean, he gives them something.
They go in the same direction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're both trying
they're
to
both
do the same thing.
Okay.
Alright, that's the way Rashi learns. Rashi learns, that's the question here. Tosis learns differently. He rejects Rashi's pshat, and he says that the question here, it's the last Tosis over here, that what? In perish b'kuntris, the price of koi b'kosheleri. D'may yesh l'holi yoshem kinyin, shari l'mi makne ota, l'lu chuliyame mafkir la. He's not, his lashon is not a lashon of kinyin. All he's saying is, I'm removing my ownership from here. So why is there even an issue of kinyin? He's almost trying to be mafkir it, and he's not doing it at lashon hefkir. So why is kinyan relevant at all to this case? Because he's not really trying to transact. He's trying to remove ownership. Removing ownership is not a form of kinyan.
Well, if he did hefker, he wouldn't have to do kinyan so no one else could get.
Yeah, but he can't do hefker this way. That's the problem. The failure he's done Right. The failure was that he never made it hefker, so the kinyan's meaningless.
So
right. The
kinyan by him or anyone else would make it.
Exactly.
So the point to Tosfos, the kinyan does not have to mean. It could be him or it could be the other shutaf or anyone else.
Anyone else in the world. It doesn't do anything. It's not working because that's its whole point. His whole point is that they're not trying to create a transaction. He's trying to create hefker and he's failing at that level.
Seems to feel a little,
in the flow of this thing. Right. Well, Tosfos, you see, near the reed, that nesua koi. It's going back on our case, the case before. Damrina, the yadoki yada, imahani leshum kinyan or that. Right? Does a kinyan help? When you have equal ownership in the property, does a kinyan work to overcome the deficit over here? Says ikanomi yado mahu. If she takes a kinyan from him when he removes his ownership over here, when he says dina dvarim ainly basic zoo, does that work? Okay, because she does have partial ownership here. So according to Tosfos, it really there's a it's almost like a shutafus anyway, because they're equal ownership in here. But because it comes derech takanas chachamim, maybe the kinyan can overcome this problem of the grius of the lashon. All right, so that's the depending on who you're thinking about. Kani yado mau amrei osef midinu dvarim kani miyado. Right. So what is it? Rabbi Yosef says what? Whatever he explained, the kinyan is doing right is reinforcing what he said. What he said was meaningless. So the kinyan's reinforcing that, and therefore it's what? The kinyan itself will be meaningless too. Right. So that was the one tzad. Right. And the other side is Rav Nachman Rami Gufa Shokarka Kanamiyodo. No, the Kenyan is overcoming the Lashon because he's making a Kenyan on the Karka. The Kenyan on the Karka has nothing to do with his Misuleket, the Lashon of Misuleket. It's almost like that doesn't matter anymore, right? But we have Miras Adas, we're trying to do something here, and that Miras Adas is going to function here in creating the Kenyan. Right, so Amar Abai Mistabra Milsud Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef's opinion makes sense, Be'orer. That when he is orer, what's an orer? That is, someone makes a claim, meaning that they're making noise about it. Aval ba'omeid, right? Megufa shokarka kana miyado. But if he doesn't say anything, right, then what? Then it doesn't matter. So let's look at Rashi quickly. What's ba'orer? Shibachaber uzela haksit bechelko. The second partner comes to take his property. I mean, they had this transaction. Then he comes to take his property. Miyad amad bi'irer la matana. If he right away comes and says, you know what, whoa, that, I didn't mean to do that. V'amar lo natati l'chata sada. I never really gave you this field. Didn't divarim ba'alma amarti l'cha. I just said some silly lashon, shlo aribim chas, that you would get off my back. Right? So if he says it right away, that he didn't mean to create a kinyan here, then Rabbi Yossi's opinion says that the kinyan is meaningless. Makes sense, because it was clear that he didn't have das to make a kinyan here. But, aval ba'ome, listen to this, Rashi. Yomo yomayim achakach irer. The guy comes and takes the property. The shutuf comes and takes the property. And then he's like, he doesn't say anything. He lets the other guy go off with the property. Then later on he comes back with a claim. Oh, no, I didn't mean to do this. He said, well, in that case, it makes more sense that the kinyan was functioning. Why? The hashtahu, the hakadar bay. Now he's really trying to change his mind. And somebody else told him, you know what, if you make some noise, you'll get it back here because you can say it was a bad kinyan. But that wasn't his intent. His intent wasn't for it to be a good kinyan. But now he's changing his mind. He's having, seller's regret here, seller's remorse, and therefore he wants to what? He wants to come back. He wants to reject the kinyan. But when he did the kinyan, he really was a good kinyan. So that's the way Abaye suggests that maybe between Rav Yosef and Rav Nachman, which will make more sense. In the case where he says, I really didn't mean to do it, that'll make sense like Rav Yosef, the kinyan's meaningless. Case where he, after time, comes, tries to make a claim back, I heard that this is not a good kinyan, that means that he really meant it to be a kinyan, but he now is trying to undo that. Alright, so now Gemara says, Amar Meyermar, Hilkosam Mikufa Shal Karka Kon Miyodo, that the kinyan is good enough to overcome the Griyus of the Lashon.
In both cases.
What does it mean, both? It depends who you are, Rashi or Tosis.
No, I mean, point to.
Amar Le'a Vashi Le'a Meyermar, Orer Obomate. Exactly your question. Does it matter, right, what he said or how he acted afterwards? The my nafkamina looks to Rav Yosef. What's the nafkamina is like whether we hold like Rav Yosef. If we say like Abaye, then what? Then when he's ma'orer, we hold like Rav Yosef, and it's not a good kinyan. So I'm a little shmi'ali. I never heard that distinction. Klamar lo severely. I didn't hold of it. So there, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant, and the kinyan is the kinyan is strong enough to overcome the deficit in the lashon, right? And therefore, the halacha will be like Rav Nachman's opinion that migufa shel karka kana miyado, that it works.
And you need
Gemir's
Das, we say that was...
That is, the kinyan, the fact that he had the kinyan is creating... If you need Gemir's Das for kinyan to work, and that kinyan, the fact that he started out with this lashon, even though lashon's...
That doesn't hurt the Gemir's Das.
Right, exactly. That doesn't undermine it.
If there's no lashon, it would definitely be great.
Right. So now, the Gemara says, imkein lamakot of law, right? Why did he write the first case? This is your question... Shaul's question, I think, earlier. We have three things the Baal owns, and then he says, I'm misulik my rights to a certain thing. Why did we pick the fact that what? That he doesn't reject the sale versus the other items. Gemara says, Temalei, Mikol Silik, Mile Silik Nashach. So first of all, why don't we say when he says, I remove my rights here, that it gets rid of all of his rights in the property? Amar Abai, Yad Baal Ashtar La Tachtona. Right? That the Baal Ashtar has his rights are on the bottom. What does that mean? That anybody who takes out a shtar, right, and he's muksuk in the thing, then the other person has to prove, right, that whatever it is, any transaction or any statement made between them, they have to bring the proof. So it's still over here. The husband technically is entitled to all three of these properties, right? The fact that he said, didn't dvarim slike, right, means that he's somehow removed his rights from something. The wife is going to have to prove what he removed his rights from. So what are we going to say? We're going to say that if she comes in and says that she removes his rights from the least problematic part of the contract, that he has the best, we're going to give him the best situation, and she's going to have the worst situation, because he has the better rights here. He's muksak, he's holding the properties there in the marriage, and number two is he has the takanas chachamim that are in his favor. So the fact that he said, yeah, these look it, we're going to go to the worst. So now what's the worst? Vayimim b'peirei. Why doesn't he remove his hand from the peiros? Why? Then he can still block transactions, and he'll inherit it if she, what? If she predeceases him. So Gemara says, Am Rabbaya botzina tav mikra. Right? That's a question, what this means?
Rashi. Hands were killed in the bush.
Right, exactly. That's the exception. Right? Rashi says it means what? A person gives you a choice to pick a dalat, right? Pick a gourd. And he says, you can either pick it right now, or if you leave it on the stalk, it'll grow. The gourd will continue growing. You can pick it in 2 months from now, it'll be much bigger. So he says, people would rather take the small one now and know they have it, rather than wait till later, even though it's bigger, and not know that they have it. It's the same thing over here. The guy would rather take the peiros, which he knows he has, than what? Then worry about whether the property is theirs, or whether she predeceases him. Right now he knows he gets his peiros, he'd rather take that up front. Tosa says that it's two different things. It's a dalat and a kishuin, and cucumbers, or right, some sort of something from the cucumber family. They're two different things, and therefore a gourd is much bigger than a cucumber. So a person would rather say what? That take my cucumbers. Cucumbers ripen very fast on the tree, so therefore either take your cucumber right now or wait, and the dalat that's grown over there, it can be yours. And person take the cucumber right now because it's in his hand and it's ready to be taken, right? So exactly what you said, Shoal, that it's you know, it's a better one in hand than two in the bush, right? Vema Mirusha. So what? The other option was what? To say that he's removing his rights to be Yorisher after death, if she predeceases him. So Rabbiya Misa Shchicha, Mechira Lo Shchicha. Everybody dies, okay? And not everybody sells their property. So what do you have to say? Everybody dies, but it has to be that she dies beforehand. So Tosus makes a little nuance here. I was thinking this right as soon as I read the Gemara, but I think it's right because you can see historically it's true that women died much more often predeceased their husbands because of childbirth. Childbirth, we know in the Gemara, is very, very dangerous. Right? It's one of the things in Bamei Madlikin was that a woman gets punished on is during childbirth because it was extremely dangerous. Today, Baruch Hashem, you know, they've made it still dangerous, but not nearly as bad. Back then, childbirth was, you know, almost like a near-death experience. The way childbirth worked, and many, many women died during childbirth. It's this week's parsha. So therefore, Misa Shchicha is that not only is Misa, everybody dies, but a lot of times the women predeceased their husbands. Right? And Mechira Lo Shchicha, a woman generally would not sell the property. Why not? Because it's her family's property. Shevach Beis Avia. Right? She wants to keep the family and the property in the family, and therefore she wouldn't want to sell it. When he removes his rights, he removes it from the thing that's less common than the less common. So now you want to know, how do we get to the fact that which one did he remove his right from? He removed his right from what? Blocking her sale. Because that's the least likely event to take place. So that's the least right to take away from him. So the least right to take away from him is that blocking right. So that's what he loses when he says that I don't have anything to do with it. Rashi Amar, he says, V'nechsech, v'lo v'teruteyem, v'nechsech, v'lo la'achamiso. Right, so that means that when he says, nechsech, that loshon means what? Nechasim, and not peruteyem. I'm not projecting my right from the peros. The loshon that he used, nechsech, it means not peros. And nechsech means your possessions now, not after he dies.
Not because it's the least, what does make a difference is because of the loshon.
The loshon that he used indicates that which he was trying to remove his right from. Right, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lolam Okel Peru Peros. You can eat the peri peros, the secondary production. Turn about on Elohim Peros, Velohim Peri Peros. What are the original production and what is the secondary production? So, Yechnisalo Karkov Asta Peros, if she brings in property and it produces something, Harihim Peros. That's easy, right? Machar Peros. If they sell those Peros, Velokachman Karka, and then they buy property with it, but Astaperos, and this next property then produces Harihen Periperos. That's secondary production. See, by the way, the Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda's Lashon, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? In order to get rid of Periperos, he has to say Perotehem. Periperotehem ad olam. What's the functional Lashon that makes it worker? Is it Periperotehem or ad olam? Which one's the more important Lashon here? Or do you need both, according to Rabbi Yehuda? So what's worse? Periperos dafka, Odilma ad olam dafka. Which one is working to get rid of the future production beyond Peros, right? Oh, Dilma Tarbayo Dafka, right? Or the last possibility is that you need both. So Imtim Salomar Peri Peros Dafka Adolon Lamali. So if you want to suggest what that it says Peri Peros, then why is he mentioning Adolam? So hakamashman came into chatav la peri peros kemandach tavla ad olam dami. That's exactly what it means. Peri peros means that I am removing my rights from the secondary production forever. Meaning that it's not that it means ad olam means that production more secondary tertiary production, but rather ad olam is a reference to how long do I want this misiluk of peri peros to be? That is the equivalent of ad olam.
So you could do either. Right. Would you be able to do either according to that?
No, only peri-peros, according to that. Because then ad olam, you wouldn't know what it was referring to. If you only said peros ad olam, it would mean that peros forever. Right, I will never eat those production, not the peros. Right. So if tips alomar ad olam dafka, if you said alam is really the law shown, peri-peros lamali. Why is he saying this? Hakamashalan afgav diftavla peri-peros ikitavla ad olam in ilolo. That the law of peri-peros makes no difference, and ad olam is really taking it from, you know, peros to secondary to tertiary. So the ad olam is really the one that's functioning here to take away the extra productions, the secondary and tertiary productions, but not the what? Not the peri peros. So to show you that the lashon of peri peros fails, that only when ad olam is there does it work, but peri peros wouldn't work by itself. If you say they're both actual lashon, why do I need both? Tzricha. Why? Dikatavla peri peros below katavla ad olam. Because had he written peri peros and not ad olam, have mina peri peros hutolo achel about peri peros. But the tertiary production he would take, right? You'd have primary, secondary, and tertiary production. He would remove himself from peros and peri peros, primary and secondary. But after that, he would get it back. Achel lachi tzricha ad olam. That's why he needs ad olam to tell you even after secondary production it would work. Bikatavla ad olam, had it simply written ad olam, below katavla peri peros, and did not write peri peros, havamina li olam a peros koi. I would think the olam goes to tell me that forever I will not get peros, but not to say what? Yeah. That there is a, right, that it's a shoshelet, that there goes peri peros, and that ad olam is right from there. Okay, it's shrek peri peros, and therefore I need peri peros. So that's, the Gemara doesn't conclude here, but it seems like you would need, right, the way from the Gemara Tzrichi, so that you might need both of them to work here. All right. Yibaylo, katov la, tinu dvarim enli b'nechsech, u'peri peros. So now here's the question. What is it? If he only said, what, I have no rights in your property, and peri peros, it leaves out? Ad olam. Ma'u sh'yochal peres, mi peri peros. I mean, peros. What can he eat? Peros. Right, because what did he say here? He said, I'm removing myself from your property and your secondary production. But he never mentioned peros. So what's the din of the peros here? He said, I remove myself from nechsech, your property, and nechsech, and I what? And I remove myself from your secondary production. What happens to the primary production in this case? So he says, ma'u shiochal peros, right? Mi peri peros salak nafshe. He removed himself from what? The secondary production, mi peri lo salak nafshe. But primary production, he didn't remove himself.
Based on the whole process that we just said before, it would seem that he should be able to do peros.
Right.
We concluded that if he, you know, that if, the reason that he needs both the shonos is that if he only included
peri peros, that we take him literally. We take his lashon literally, right? That was the last. Yeah, there were three different.
Right, the last.
Right,
this one's a little different because this one you're sort of skipping one.
Right, so it seems like there's an intentional skipping, right? I agree with you. I think that it would be different. Oh, Dilma, Mikol Milei Selek Nafshe. Or maybe he removed himself from everything that he meant from your property to secondary production, meaning that it's not that it means each one of these individually, but rather he just gave like the two ends. Right? You know, anything between your property and secondary production. That would include primary production, all right? Pshita. Right, b'chol milei salak nafshe. We have to say it's simple, right? That he removes everything. Di amart mi peri peros salak nafshe mi peri lo salak nafshe. Kevin dachlim le peros peri peros mehecha. Right, because if we say that he can eat the peros, then why is it relevant to have secondary production here? If he's eating all the primary production, then why is there any secondary production? So Gemara says li temeich. According to you, what are you going to do with our Mishnah? It's not Rabbi Yehuda Meir the olam who ochel peri peros. That he can eat secondary production. If he doesn't mention secondary production and removing his ownership, he can eat it. That's what it says in the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda. Came in the peyreid, he's eating the primary production, peri peros meicha. Where are these secondary production coming from? Ella bitishayra, alkana bitishayra. Exactly. It's when he does not consume all the primary production. If he doesn't consume all the primary production, then he takes that, buys karkwa, then he'll have secondary production. Even though he has the rights to consume all the primary production, there'll be cases where he doesn't, and therefore where she doesn't eat it all up when he's removed his rights to it, and therefore whatever's left over will go to buy property, and then they'll have peros. Right, it's just a practical solution. All right, Rishim Gomliel, if you guys have time, nobody has to stay, but we can get to the Mishnah. It's a great sugya, it's a fast sugya. We can probably do it in the next 10 minutes, get to the next Mishnah on Pei Dalet, which is, you know, halfway down the Amud. But the sugya is a single sugya, and it flows pretty fast. Amarav, halacha k'Rav Shimon Gomliel, v'lav mita ame. Right? The halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that what? That you can't be masneh to remove your right to inherit the wife if, when she predeceases him. But, lo mitameh, but not from his reasoning. My halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but lo mitameh. What does that mean? That what if she dies, he still inherits her even when he says I'm not going to. The lav mitamei, what does it mean? Not according to his reason. That he holds. What? Why does it fail according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? It's because you're trying to make a tnai, a condition in what the Torah prescribed, and it fails. Rav sover tno kayam, but Rav says no, it really works. So why? Why over here is there a problem? Because sover Yerushas Abal Drabanan, that the inheritance of a husband from his wife is only midrabanan. But Chamim asu chizuk lidverim yoter mishel Torah. Right, and Chamim gave tokev to what their takana like that a Torah level. So it fails not because there's a do right. So here it fails what? Because there's a drabanan. It was just a drabanan, it wouldn't fail. But it's a drabanan that has extra power to it. The Chamim gave this drabanan extra power. So Rav and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel both say that the tznai fails. But it fails for different reasons. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the tznai fails because the Torah says this is the inheritance, and you can't be matna on the Torah. Rav says, no, you could make a matna. You could be matna here because it's only de rabbanan. But in this one situation, the rabbanan gave their takana as much power as a doraisa, and therefore the tznai fails. So Gemara challenges this. Vasava Rav tno kayam. Does Rav really hold that what? That his tznai works when it's against the doraisa, when it's against the Torah, your tznai works. Va'idmar. Then we have a case, what? Ha'omer, the chaverom, nashen, the chalayon, no. Someone makes a transaction. They do a transaction. In Minatoro, what happens in a transaction? You can't charge more than a shish, it's right, you can't charge more than a sixth. If you charge less than a sixth, then the mechro is kayim. If you charge a sixth, then the mechro is kayim, and you have to return it. If you charge more than a sixth, the mechro is, right, botel. He rose his waist, do he says, you know what? We're going to transact, but I'm telling you, it's more than a sixth. You're going
to
waive your right to get it back. Rav Amar Yeshalav Onah, doesn't matter. Why? Because you'd be matne amasha kasu batorah. Torah says no Onah, and you're trying to what? Take Onah. Doesn't work. Ushmo en Amar en Olav alona. Shmuel says what? That he has no rights. You can't be matne. So what do you see from here? That Rav holds you can't be matne amasha kasu batorah. So over here we just suggested that Rav would what? Say that you could. So El Alocha, so that doesn't work. That the tonight would have been Kayam. All right, so now, because what did Rav try to say? We tried to say with Rav that...
It's not Okayam.
So we see here, what? That Rav does not...
That Rav allows a stipulation to override a Doraisa.
Okay, right. A stipulation to override Doraisa. And then why wouldn't he hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel fully? I mean, he doesn't have to go through this whole... idea to get to the Darabona, right? That he could just work it like the Rav Shimon Gamliel. Elo Alocha Rav Shimon Gamliel Darmar Matna Mashkotz Torah Tzno Batel. The Lav Mitamei Di Rav Shimon Gamliel Sever Meta Yirashena. That if she dies, inheritance Rav Sever Meta Lo Yirashena. So the Gemara says that he holds like him that the Tznai doesn't work, but nevertheless he inherits him. So the Gemara says Hamitamei Velo Kehil Chaseyu. That means that he has the same reason as Rav Shimon Gamliel, but he ends up with a different conclusion. How can you say that when he stated before, halacha is like him, and not from his reason? Over here, they hold the same thing, yet what? Ilav kehil chasei, it's not according to his halacha. So, elo halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. The halacha is, halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, damrei mesa yirashena. The lav mitamei, the Rav Shimon Gamliel sever b'doraisa tnai ubatel. That he holds a tnai ubatel. Haba derabanan tno kayam. But in a derabanan, his time of Rav sever, if he'll be derabanan tno batel. Even derabanan, that his tnai would be batel. What does it mean, b'derabanan, his tnai would be batel? Rashi thinks that it means, afilu tnai peros nami batel. That when you make the tnai, that what? That I won't accept the peros, that won't work. So Rashi says it's all talking about what? It's all talking about our Mishnah. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, what fails in the condition? Only the part that is the oraisa. The oraisa part is what? That if you predecease me and I won't inherit you, that won't work. But Rav says, no, not only does that not work, even the tznai by the peros, that you remove your ownership of the peros, does not work. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot says, no, what's peros have nothing to do with it. Right? Because if you hold that, then Rav holds like nobody in our Mishnah. Everywhere in our Mishnah says that if you get rid of the peros, it works. So who's Rav holding like? So he's saying no. When Rav says means that's now kayim by derabanan, that means in general. In general, when you make a tznai in the derabanan, it would work. Not in this case, but in general, it would work. So as Mar says, that doesn't read well either. Hakitamei ukehilchasei. That means that Rav basically holds like Shimon Gamliel. He says what? Your tznai is not. You cannot block the Yerusha. And why can't you block the Yerusha? Because the tznai is bota. They both hold that. So who? Rav Mosiv who? And Rav is just adding on an additional statement that what? Even in Darabanan, the Tznai is Batel. Ella, what is it? Halakha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Damar Mesa Yerushena, Balami Tamei. Deal Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Savar Yerusha Sabal De Araisa. Yerusha the Baal De Araisa. Vachomata, Mashakadu Batora. It's no Batel. Right, that's it. Verab Savar Yerusha Sabal Darabanan. Vachomasu Yisikli Dram Kishel Torah. So Gemara says, all right.
So that's the case in also perish on Ruk.
What?
If that's the case in also perish on Ruk, according to Rav.
According to Rav, oh no, because Chama only owns Susik Chizuk Devarim over by Yerusha, right? Not by other things. Right, exactly. They don't do it by that. And why? The Gemara's going to ask that, I think, at the end. So as Chama is Yerusha, because it's Torah. So Gemara says, does Rav really hold now? Right, so now we're back to the original suggestion, which is what? That it's Yerusha Debal lives Deo Raisa. And therefore, if your matne al Masha Kotu Batorah doesn't work according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rav says no, that Yerusha Debal is Deo Rabbanon. And what?
Because
here, so it fails. So now the Gemara is going to say, well, is that really true? Rav Savar, Yerusha Debal Deo Rabbanon? Does Rav really hold that what? Yerusha Debal is Deo Rabbanon. But it's not. We have a Mishnah that what? Sorry, one second. Okay. So that's not only the Mishra Yochum, Rokum Mera Yorish, Shetishto, Yachzer Livne Mishpacha, Vinachalam Min Adomim. Someone inherits his wife, should return the property to the family and then take off the money. Bavinamba, Micah Savar. What's he talking about here? He could Savar Yushus about the Oraisa. If he owes that the Yushus of the husband is the Oraisa, my Yachzer. Why does he have to give back the property? He owns it, Midoraisa. He doesn't have to give it back. Vidarabonon, Dummy might be tile. If it's only Midarabonon, then what? The Rabbanon can establish whatever they want. Give it back to him and he doesn't have to pay any money. Bamarav, the Olam, Yushus Savar Yushus about the Oraisa. The Yushus about the Oraisa. Vakon, Cho, Yushu, Ishto, Besak, Boros. The problem here is that part of the Yerusha was what? That it was a cemetery. The family cemetery was involved in this Yerusha. And Mishum Bagam Mishpocha Amar Rabbanan Lishkol Dmei Lahader. Pay him back, but give back the property. The Chachamim said, better, you know, okay, Yerusha is the Oraisa, he's entitled to own this property. Because of Bagam Mishpocha, we're going to say, make a takana, that he has to give back the cemetery to them, so they can be buried in their cemetery. Right? But, what? But, he has to, they'll give him money for it. They got to pay for it.
He's entitled.
Right. Umay yinachalan min adamim, demei kever yishto. What does it mean that he reduces the money? Meaning that he is
less,
right, because he's obligated to bury his wife. So therefore, if he gives back the property to them, and then they bury the woman in that property, then he should only get paid for what? The property minus the cost of the funeral. So that's what it says. Kedetanya, mocha kivro, mederach kivro, mederach kivro, mamado, makom hespedo. Someone who sells his kever. And is the way to the kever, and the place where they do the mamad afterwards, the makom hespet, or the place they do the hefseh. The family can come and bury him there, even if he sold his plot there, they can come and bury them against the will of the buyer. Shum b'kam mishpacha. Hey, because of the b'kam mishpacha.
They probably have to pay for it, right?
No, Rav doesn't hold that it's deal right, so he's just explaining Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's opinion. What is it? This statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, why is it working this way? It's because Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka holds it's what? Deo Raisa, Yushus Abaz Deo Raisa. Velelo Svirle, but he doesn't hold of it. Rav doesn't hold of that. So in the end, what do we come up with? We come up with what? That.
And he really holds it's the Rabbanon.
Right. That he holds that it's the Rabbanon. Mechomesu is Keu, the Dvera Mishel Torah. Because if he held it was Deo Raisa, Rav, we saw above, holds that he could be Matna Mashukatu Batorah. So here. Right, the thing about the kever that says Rav holds what? That it's Midoraisa. That is explaining Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's position. Why is it that they have to return and he has to pay money? Or he has to return the kever and then they have to pay him money? That's because that's a Tekanas Chachamim by Gam Mishpacha that he has to return it. So, whereas the Whereas over here, it's going to hold. He said that's to explain Rabbi Yochanan ben Okkah. But Rabbi himself is going to hold what? That it's dirabonon. You should sabal and it's dirabonon. The only reason that it fails over here is not because right. Asuka zegrem kid de o raisa.
It's funny, the most of the Rabbanon, my dummy, I mean, the way we say no, the Rabbanon says, yeah, of course it's dummy, because really, we give it to Yerusha, but because of the...
We're trying to make something right, work. It's like a Tikkun Olam type of thing.
Right, what was the question? Oh, if it's Rabbanon, then whatever they do, they do with logic, which means, really, you have monetary rights to it, but because of the Mishpacha...
Yeah, but that's easy to work with. I mean, that within it, the Rabbanon gave the husband
the right.
Right, so they just say he only inherits if it's not a kever.
He inherits a kever, but he gets the value.
You don't have to do it that way. When you have the chum can just exclude kever from the whole.
Right, but maybe they felt that he deserves the money, but he doesn't deserve the actual property.
Right, yeah, but they weren't.
Instead of kever, that he has to give it back, but, you know, but be paid for it. That's similar to the that we had the Shevach Beis Aviyah with the. You know, with the servants, right? That she can insist on receiving the servants, and paying for them, right?
Right. That's the same Shevach Beis Aviyah.
Yeah,
that's the idea. That Tachanas Chacham allows her to take it. But there is really.
Even though it's technically entitled to it, it's because the Shevach Beis Aviyah, in this case, because of the embarrassment of the family. We give them the right to get it back and pay for it. Want to go a little further? Just kidding.